no hate, no grief. Slowly he turned, went off down the course of the dry river, and soon was gone to sight. There was no more light on Ged's yew staff or in his face. He stood there in the darkness. When Arryn came to him, he caught at the young man's arm to hold himself upright. For a moment, a spasm of dry sobbing shook him. "It is done," he said. "It is all gone. It is done, dear lord. We must go. Aye. We must go home." Ged was like one bewildered or exhausted. He followed Arryn back down the river course, stumbling along slowly and with difficulty among the rocks and boulders. Arryn stayed with him. When the banks of the dry river were low and the ground was less steep, he turned toward the way they had come, the long, formless slope that led up into the dark. Then he turned away. Ged said nothing. As soon as they halted, he had sunk down, sitting on a lava boulder, forespent, his head hanging. Arryn knew that the way they had come was closed to them. They could only go on. They must go all the way. Even too far is not far enough, he thought. He looked up at the black peaks, cold and silent against the unmoving stars, terrible, and once more that ironic, mocking voice of his will spoke in him, unrelenting. "Will you stop halfway, Labanon?" He went to Ged and said very gently, "We must go on, my lord." Ged said nothing, but he stood up. "We must go by the mountains, I think." "Thy way, lad," Ged said in a hoarse whisper. "Help me." So they set out, up the slopes of dust and scoria into the mountains, Arryn helping his companion along as well as he could. It was black, dark in the combes and gorges, so that he had to feel the way ahead, and it was hard for him to give Ged support at the same time. Walking was hard, a stumbling matter, but when they had to climb and clamber as the slopes grew steeper, that was harder still. The rocks were rough, burning their hands like molten iron. Yet it was cold and got colder as they went higher. There was a torment in the touch of this earth. It seared like live coals. A fire burned within the mountains. But the air was always cold and always dark. There was no sound. No wind blew. The sharp rocks broke under their hands and gave way under their feet. Black and sheer, the spurs and chasms went up in front of them and fell away beside them into blackness. Behind, below, the kingdom of the dead was lost. Ahead, above, the peaks and rocks stood out against the stars, and nothing moved in all the length and breadth of those black mountains except the two mortal souls. Ged often stumbled or missed his footing in weariness. His breath came harder and harder, and when his hands came hard against the rocks, he gasped in pain. To hear him cry out wrung Arryn's heart. He tried to keep him from falling, but often the way was too narrow for them to go abreast, or Arryn had to go in front to seek out footing. And at last, on a high slope that ran up to the stars, Ged slipped and fell forward and did not get up. "My lord," Arryn said, kneeling by him, and then spoke his name. "Ged." He did not move or answer. Arryn lifted him in his arms and carried him up that high slope. At the end of it, there was level ground for some way ahead. Arryn laid his burden down and dropped down beside him, exhausted and in pain, past hope. This was the summit of the pass between the two black peaks for which he had been struggling. This was the pass and the end. There was no way farther. The end of the level ground was the edge of a cliff. Beyond it, the darkness went on forever, and the small stars hung unmoving in the black gulf of the sky. Endurance may outlast hope. He crawled forward when he was able to do so, doggedly. He looked over the edge of darkness, and below him, only a little way below, he saw the beach of ivory sand. The white and amber waves were curling and breaking in foam on it, and across the sea the sun was setting in a haze of gold. Aaron turned back to the dark. He went back. He lifted Ged up as best he could and struggled forward with him until he could not go any farther. There, all things ceased to be. Thirst, and pain, and the dark, and the sun's light, and the sound of the breaking sea. When Aaron woke, a gray fog hid the sea and the dunes and hills of Celador. The breakers came murmuring in a low thunder out of the fog and withdrew murmuring into it again. The tide was in, and the beach much narrower than when they had first come there. The last small foam lines of the waves came and licked at Ged's outflung left hand as he lay face down on the sand. His clothes and hair were wet, and Aaron's clothes clung icily to his body, as if once, at least, the sea had broken over them. Of Cobb's dead body there was no trace. Maybe the waves had drawn it out to sea. But behind Aaron, when he turned his head, huge and dim in the mist, the gray body of Orm Embar bulked like a ruined tower. Aaron got up, shuddering with chill. He could barely stand, for cold and stiffness and a dizzy weakness like that which comes of lying a long time unmoving. He staggered like a drunken man. As soon as he could control his limbs, he went to Ged and managed to pull him a little way up the sand above the wave's reach. But that was all he could do. Very cold, very heavy, Ged seemed to him. He had borne him over the boundary from death into life, but maybe in vain.